Great. Well, hello, everyone. Oh, that works. Fantastic.
Is mine?
Yes.
Real. Good. We're good to go. Hello, everyone. My name's Rosa.
And Arthur.
And we will be talking to you for the next about 30 minutes about the Automation Wars. This is about a little bit about this talk, if I can. So this talk is really an opportunity to explore many different questions. We will be throwing more questions out at you than we shall be given answers to. You're going to hear a lot of anecdotes from a couple who have been navigating life together for nearly two decades. And some of them will be great anecdotes, some of them will be really awkward. We're also going to be really honest that the reason this talk kind of came about is because this was kind of the best way that we could get EMF tickets. We really wanted to come. And so when we couldn't get tickets...
Well, they sold out really fast this year.
They did. They really did. So I secretly wrote a proposal and posted it, and it got accepted, and here we are today. So delighted with that. What isn't this talk?
So this is not intended to be a technical how-to talk. I'll share a little bit around what we've got set up and how it all runs, but it's not necessarily the best way of doing it at all. We're not experts in the slightest. It's not a technical deep dive at all. And we don't have marriage issues. This is more of a light-hearted kind of conversational chat.
Yeah, it's not a marital grudge match or a cheap way of getting therapy, we promise. On with the talk. Oh, before we go on with the talk, I must say, just a slight trigger warning. As we were going through and kind of discussing the areas that we wanted to touch on today, we realized that kind of one area that might come up is around control. And so we just wanted to kind of give a bit of a trigger warning for that. Please do look after yourselves if that's going to be a trigger for you. Arthur?
A bit on terminology. So we might use the term Wi-Fi, network, internet. I know they're all very different things, but we'll use them interchangeably to refer to the general concept of it. And if it comes up, the sensor refers to a single piece of information, like a temperature reading, whereas a device might be something which captures temperature and humidity at the same time.
Brilliant. Now, before we kind of get into the ins and outs of our home, our marriage, whatever, this is a modern fairy tale, so a little bit about us. So we met at university about 20 years ago, and it wasn't quite love at first sight. We grated on each other, I must say. I think, Arthur, you maybe felt that I was a bit too loud?
I was intimidated by you.
Okay, cool. And Arthur was just so quiet. Like, we didn't really talk. We didn't really get a chance to catch up. But one fateful afternoon, a dear friend of ours ditched us both at the same time and cancelled plans with us. And so we ended up together. And we realised that the other actually wasn't so bad after all. And it was really a case of opposites attract, to the point where when one of our friends found out that we were seeing each other, he snorted so hard beer came out of his nose. We are very different people in lots of different ways, but somehow over the years we have been able to make it work. It all comes together in something beautiful, which you can see our family crest up there, which I gifted Arthur on our wedding day. So we've got our shared love of dinosaurs. Dinosaurs rule. We have the comms badge from Star Trek insignia. We've got the moon. We love space. We both love theatre, and we both love camping. Although that has just been rekindled after a couple of years hiatus this weekend. We've got on each side, we do have our separate interests. So I love to bake. My name's Rosa Morgan Baker. I am baker by nature and by name. And Arthur loves to build.
Yeah, so we've got a soldering iron and circular saw blades on that.
Great. So it's kind of a joining of like two opposites, but we do come together quite well. So a little bit of story time. A few months ago, I was at home by myself. Arthur had gone on a work trip, and I was sat in bed being like, right, it's time to go to sleep, ready to snuggle down. I took out my phone and our home app, because everyone has a home app, right? And I pressed the shutdown button, or sleep button, I think.
Sleep.
Sleep, okay. I pressed the sleep button. What does the sleep button do?
It shuts off various different bits of lighting around the house, locks doors, and depending if guest mode is on, leave certain lights on.
We'll come back to guest mode later. So I pressed the button and nothing happens. I was like, the lights were still on. I was like, I don't know if doors are locked or not locked. What do I do here? So I was like, you know what? I am a strong, confident woman who does not need to call her husband who is in India fast asleep. I can work out how to do this. So I opened up the app. Like the inner workings of the app. I have access to everything, I'm just not really good at understanding how it all works. So I went in and, oh my goodness, I was like, I have not been in here for yonks. I did not realize all of the things that are in here. What did I find?
We use Home Assistant as kind of the central core of everything. If you haven't kind of seen that or an interest in the subject, please check it out, it is really impressive. And it allows you to tie together everything you've got. You're not locked into one ecosystem. So we use pretty much all the different protocols, devices from a whole variety of manufacturers, and slowly built up quite a few devices over the years. And you can do some really interesting things with the data that comes through. So I'm trying to track complete electricity usage across the house. And it makes this really nice graph which shows how energy moves from place to place, but I've still got my untracked consumption at the bottom, which constantly irritates me. I can never locate where it's going. And yeah, this was one of the interesting use cases that came up recently. So we've got a newborn, and at night she would stir, and we weren't quite sure why, so using a VOC sensor, we could detect if it was related to her farting or not, and it was just her discomfort causing us to kind of roll around, or if we're expecting something else.
I also found another one of these in the downstairs toilet. So apparently that if that goes off...
Yeah, rather than having a fan that turns on all the time, it only turns on when it detects noxious gases. Oh, yes. I really dislike the heat, and for some reason, it feels like if I can measure it into an excruciating level of detail, then it will help. It doesn't, but I get some pretty graphs showing how the temperature changes in my kind of home office space. Oh, and all of this lives in our downstairs toilet. So there's some nice paneling on the wall, which everything kind of sits behind, a mini computer, router, a network switch, telephony device, as well as a couple of other manufacturer-specific things. But it's all out the way and not seen. Oh, and this was a quick kind of glimpse at some of the devices that we've got scattered around the house. So there's normal kind of Wi-Fi access points in the ceiling and the wall. We've got lots of door sensors scattered around the place, along with some kind of custom bits and pieces using ESP32 devices. And yeah, a load of bits just scattered all over the place. And because it's all Home Assistant, it doesn't really matter where it comes from or how it's made. It all comes into the same place.
Yeah, I had no clue. So as I was going through the app, I was like, okay, there's so much of this. How has Arthur been able to configure all of this without me really seeing it? I mean, bravo to you, amazing stuff. I have requested that I have a light switch that works rather than having to be able to always have my phone with me. But there were so many things that were operating across the house that I started to have this mini existential crisis. So I started to think, am I now living inside a computer? Like, is this it? When did homes even start becoming computers? I know we've got our central hub in the downstairs loo, but I didn't realize that the whole house was running in this way. Is this what the Matrix actually is? Is this what the future is? Am I already living in the future? So all of these thoughts kept going around my mind. And so then I started to think about, are we normal? Is this a normal thing? And I was looking at, it's not. But spoiler alert, we're not normal. So about 40% of UK homes, says Ofcom, have a smart speaker in their home. And 19% of those smart speaker owners use it to control smart home devices like lights and heating. So we really are in the minority. Perhaps not in this room, though. So let's have a quick poll with hands. What flavour smart home user are you? So we've got three categories here. Either it's just a speaker, it's a speaker with fun extras, or it's the control hub for my life. Okay, so quick show of hands for it's just a speaker. Okay, a couple. Cool. It's a speaker with fun extras. Anyone else use that's the control hub for their lives? Okay, this isn't a normal room, guys, but yes.
Quite an even split, though.
here. Brilliant. So then we were looking at, I was looking at, what other things are there that are now connected to the internet? So there's things across our home that are connected to the internet. What other things are there? Are there some things that are ridiculously smart, or are they actually just ridiculous? So again, a bit of a poll. So if you think they are ridiculously smart, please do point to your head. Oh, sorry, I didn't mention audience participation. So point to your head if you think they're ridiculously smart. If you think they're just ridiculous, give me a wave. Smart toothbrushes. Now, smart toothbrushes map your mouth. Okay, cool. We're quite ridiculous. They map your mouth as you brush, give you statistics on your brushing time, and allow you to understand kind of if you've kind of cleaned all the cavities. I think that was kind of quite a bit of just ridiculous. A Wi-Fi egg tray. Okay, cool. So the Wi-Fi egg trays, they help you to know if your eggs are still fresh. So they vibrate your eggs and let you know if your eggs are still fresh. Smart water bottles. Now that was one that you really liked. You were like, yes.
I wanted to make one years ago that kind of tracked every time you filled up the water bottle and then would feed that into Fitbit's water consumption, but yeah.
But now someone else has made it. It wasn't just you. Internet-connected salt shaker, which track. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, it is ridiculous. It tracks kind of your salt intake and kind of tells. Oh, whoa, let's not do that. The smart fork tracks how quickly you eat. What do we think? Ridiculous. Yeah, great. Wi-Fi connected pet feeders. Brilliant until, okay, everyone's like, yes, this is great.
Good until the services they rely on go offline and then your pets don't get fed.
Yeah, I know. Poor kitty. Smart umbrellas. Yeah, so I found that these things, if you leave it at home and it's going to rain, it tells you, which is so ridiculous. I mean, tell me before I left the house, please. And smart nappies. What do we think? Now, smart nappies allow you to see if your child has a UTI. Now, even the founder of the smart nappy themselves is like, this is going to cause parents unnecessary stress. So I, as a parent myself, I quite agree. However, it now does exist. Though these things are a bit on the ridiculous side, as well as being a little bit smart and genius too, there have been some things in our home that has really helped me. Now, even though I absolutely love everything being analog and being able to understand how things work, at least from being able to just touch my light switch, there have been these brilliant success stories in our home. So the first one is guest mode, which came from a time where my mum came and she was walking down the stairs and we'd gone to bed. And she was walking down the stairs, Arthur pressed the sleep button and the whole house was in darkness. And so, guest mode was invented.
Yeah, this one's quite simple, but it adjusts that kind of good night routine, so it doesn't turn off certain lights, turns on bathroom lights, and just the heating in the guest room.
Yes. Mm. My mum is delighted because now whenever she comes, we put it into guest mode. She doesn't have to keep asking us to turn the heating on. She's not just stuck on the stairs in the middle of darkness. The next one is music everywhere. Now, I love to dance and sing and just frolic around the house. You love me, though. And when I was like, oh, it'd be really great if the music could just follow me around the home, Arthur was like, yes, it would, and sorted that right out. So anytime I say, play this music everywhere, I can go in any room in the house and the same thing will be playing, which is great.
For the most part.
Okay.
Although it was work doing that the other day, including in the office when I went in.
You set it up. Yeah. You set it up. So if it was playing during your work meeting, it's... I think it needed a little bit of... what was it? Must have been some sort of 90s pop. Temperature sensors.
Yeah. Obviously, sticking temperature sensors everywhere is an easy way to kind of get started with a lot of this stuff and where most of it began. It's only, I think, with the nursery started to become kind of useful there. But yeah, it's kind of nice to kind of see how things are going, especially with the heat wave at the moment, and understand which rooms stay hot for longer and for how long.
Yeah, and when you have a toddler who is quite sensitive to heat, understanding kind of what the temperature is in her room has been great for me. Mm. And then also, we've got this button by the kitchen door, because Arthur has a workshop and an office down at the bottom of the garden. And rather than just be yelling, kind of, dinner's ready, or other things that aren't quite as 50s housewife-ish, then I can press the button and it alerts him. So these are great successes that I really have loved the automation and what the convenience it has brought to life. But what we've realised is that the arguments that we end up having aren't about the technology itself, it's actually about the values and what it means to us, or what that bit of technology what it represents within our lives. And so kind of when we're thinking about kind of what we're optimizing for, I think what we realize is that we're on very different sides of the spectrum. So for you, Arthur, what are you optimizing for?
The sci-fi kind of life, I think it comes down to. So automation, data just for the sake of data. Like, who doesn't like collecting data about things? That building that kind of environment that responds as you move through, so you need to do less as you kind of go around. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, for me, I'm like predictability. If I press something, I want it to work. The light switch already worked before. If I press it, it's there. I'd love like efficiency. That would be really great. I'd like to understand. Although, saying that, as we'll see a little bit later, one of the things Arthur did say was like, but you didn't know how the lights worked before, so why does it matter now? But we'll come back to that later. So one of the things that we've seen is kind of like, one of the things we've been thinking about is how do you govern shared tech? Not that we are a country in our home, we've not set ourselves up as a state, but within our home, like how, or within anyone's home, how do you govern like what is installed and kind of what isn't installed? So a little while ago, kind of when we first moved in together, I was like, oh, I'm going to go and buy a shower radio.
And I was deeply embarrassed for you.
Thanks. So I didn't buy a shower radio.
We went for just a Google Home mounted on the wall, so it gives you exactly what you want, plus it does more and is more useful.
Yeah, and when that moved into Music Everywhere, I was delighted. But at that time, I was like, but why can't I just install my shower radio? It would just be so easy. It would come tomorrow, you wouldn't have to do anything. But it didn't fit within the framework of the house. And so as we become more dependent on the internet, on as more and more devices become connected, is this something that we're going to need to have as more of a conversation? Like, do homes need to have, do people need to be having agreements within their homes around what can be installed, what shouldn't be installed? Should children get any say in what gets installed? I'm pretty sure she's just going to want anything that's got big buttons, but yeah.
Yeah, I think at some point kids should definitely have a say, but only when they're aligned with my way of thinking.
And my absolute favourite that Arthur said, completely deadpan as we were kind of talking about this, is like, oh my gosh, does the house need a privacy policy? It's like, no, does the house need a privacy policy?
If anyone connects to Wi-Fi, it kind of scoops up kind of MAC addresses for devices and timestamps. Cameras might snapshot faces. If it was a business, it certainly would.
We will still have friends, I'm sure. So another story was the man in the loft. So again, another time Arthur went away. It always breaks when you go away. It's perfectly fine when you're here. But another time Arthur went away, I came home and my mum was visiting and we got in and all the lights in the house were off except for the loft light. Now, I know when we left, the loft light was off. So I had clearly decided, and goaded by my mum, who absolutely loves a true crime podcast, we decided together that there was a man in the loft. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a man, what are we going to do? What, like, oh, do we call the police? Like, how do we deal with this? So our solution was for my mum to go outside with her mobile phone, ready to call the police, and for me to go up in the loft with a baseball bat and see if I could find the man in the loft. There wasn't a man in the loft. What had happened?
Rather than your mother saying, please turn on the light, she added an S to the end, and so every light across the house got turned on. And that was, for me, an interesting kind of point. Yes, it was cool to add the loft light into the rest of the thing, but didn't really need to be exposed in that way.
So one of the things that we were then talking about is, well, does everyone in the house need to be able to operate it? So Arthur's been trying to take me on this journey as much as is physically possible. I just don't always want to go on it. But Arthur's been taking me on this journey, kind of showing me, oh, this does this and this does this. But I don't always take it in, and then I don't have the know-how to be able to actually make sure that it works properly at the other end. But again, as we start thinking about how we design our futures, is that something that we need to be optimizing for, ensuring that everyone in the house knows fully how to fix things if they go wrong? So this kind of brings us back to the does it really matter point, because Arthur does have a point here. If the light bulb had blown, I would have been able to change the light bulb. I'm not that bad. If something had gone wrong in the house before, if the Wi-Fi had gone down or whatever, would I have been able to do it beforehand, before Arthur had put all of this stuff in? Probably not. But does that mean that it can get more and more and more complicated as new things get added? So that really kind of made us start thinking about the hidden impact of all of this. One of those being control. Now, this in our relationship, I think it's only come up once as kind of being a real sticking point. And again, that was when we first moved in together. And you know what it's like when you first move in together, you're kind of thinking, oh, where do we put our plates? Like, do we have like matching sets of this and that? There was all of that, but also the excitement of, ooh, I get to set up a new home on Arthur's side. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Whole new space, rather than living in a flat where you've got to not do too much destructive damage, I could kind of rewire all the lighting circuits. They've got proper controllers at the heart of them and make all these changes the way you'd want a house to be set up.
And it was, as this was being set up, obviously Arthur was telling me day to day what was happening and what was going in, and was really excited. I was like, woohoo, I'm really happy for you. Sometimes, though, I would come home and lights would turn on and off, and I was convinced our home was possessed. Absolutely convinced. Because things weren't, like, there were little bugs. There were little bugs in different places, and we weren't entirely sure kind of like where they were all the time. Or Arthur couldn't always give me a heads up that something wasn't quite working as it should. And so one day, I absolutely snapped. And I was like, I just feel like I have no control in my own house. And thankfully, like, I mean, we wouldn't be together if that wasn't the case, but thankfully Arthur was like, okay, let's sort this right out, stripped everything back and only made sure that kind of things that actually work go in, and now it's a whole lot better, it's all good.
Yeah, for me this was a real kind of change in the way I thought about things. It was that thought that this data, you can see how someone moves through a house, through the lights that they turn on or off, when they're there, when they're not there. And you can use that for really unpleasant purposes, to kind of track a partner to see what they're doing, what they're not doing, question them when they go out, because you know when they've gone out, when they've opened a door. And that was so far away from anything I ever wanted to kind of have at home. It was that kind of point to kind of go back and reassess. Mm.
But as much as we could have that conversation and be open and honest with each other, we've had many, many years of being together. We know how to kind of navigate those situations together. For so many new couples or thinking about kind of our children kind of growing up and moving into relationships and kind of going into new spaces with all of this technology, like where is the education around having these open conversations to understand kind of what control feels like for each individual? How, if one person has the understanding of the systems within the home, but the other one doesn't, kind of where's the empowerment? How do you ensure that both parties are really empowered? And that also comes through like within digital inheritance, where kind of heaven forbid, if anything were to happen to Arthur, I would be screwed. So screwed. I often say, I'll get a man in, and Arthur's like, I am a man. I'm like, no, I don't mean it like that. But like, I'd have to get a man in this instance to strip everything away, so then I could work out how the house worked. Do we need to make sure that there is documentation? Do we need to make sure that there are ways of other people knowing like how the house works? I would like a PDF, please.
Maybe. I feel like, as we've talked about, AI can solve this problem quite well if it's done right.
So when we think about inheritance, another person that's going to inherit all of this stuff is our gorgeous daughter. So enter player three, little Miss T, as you can see her there. She joined us in October 2024. And since kind of like, I'm not going to lie, I have relaxed a lot about the technology in the home. I'm like, cameras, yes, please. I would love a camera in her room. So we've started thinking about, okay, what does that now look like for us as we navigate parenthood? So different fun conversations we've had since having a baby. Cameras being the first one.
Yeah, we're a no cameras inside the house kind of family at all. But yeah, camera in the nursery, yes, that's there. And the thought of capturing what goes on in the garden as well, but to capture those extra kind of moments that you wouldn't choose to film is very tempting.
Screens as well, what counts as a screen, like how much screen time can she have? Kind of thinking about if we set up the home in a particular way that she's not able to then go into other people's houses. I mean, I always already wave my hand over random bins to see if they'll open. What if she goes into other people's houses and doesn't know how to open a bin or turn the light on or whatever? Like, we need to set her up for the real world. And kind of if everything is automated, at what point does she get to learn the manual way? So really thinking about how we set her up to be able to understand kind of what things look like manually.
This is obviously a huge topic and a series of talks all on its own, but kind of onto the next slide, then this I think is an interesting aspect of that.
So Arthur designed an AI tool, and we've been kind of thinking about what does the AI look like in our house. Everywhere in our house, we realized that all of the voices were women. And that probably wasn't the best message to be sending to our daughter. So we started changing the voices kind of within our home. So when I say the voices within our home, it sounds like, again, we've been possessed. But we started changing the different voices to have different accents, different voices to make sure that she's not thinking that women are just at your service continually. And this kind of really came through in a UNESCO study a couple of years ago, where it was kind of highlighted kind of what this looks like for the next generation. If we continue to have our AI assistants voiced by women, kind of what message is that really sending to the next generation? And kind of like a final anecdote to kind of round us off. It was when we were in the car a few weeks ago, I listened to a voice note on WhatsApp out loud in the car, and it said, oh, do you want to respond? And Thea was in the back and was like, oh, no, thank you, which is gorgeous, like, yay. But also, she'd had no context around, like, where is this voice coming from? Like, what does this mean? Like, is this AI my friend? Is this not my friend? How do I interact with it? And so one of the things that we're now really thinking about navigating is, well, how do we help her to grow up in a world where she gets to be able to distinguish between kind of humans and not humans? And we're also absolutely minding our P's and Q's when we're talking to all of the things around the home to make sure that she picks up that you need to be kind to everyone, right? So there are a million other questions that we could explore, but hopefully that gave you a few to take home with you and to start thinking about yourselves as well. Thank you all so much, and we will be at the Q&A tent if you'd like to chat.